Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Music Business Dreams, the podcast. This is episode 59, and what a great episode it's going to be. I'm super excited, super pumped. Before we get into it, though, again, I hope you guys are staying safe, being well. I hope you guys are staying inside, or at least staying away from large crowds of people, and I pray that your families are doing well also. I'm in North Carolina, and it looks like we might go back into phase one of the reopen. Cases are on the rise again. It's getting kind of scary outside. Maybe not scary, but definitely crazy. So that's what's going on where I am. But hope you guys are doing well wherever you are. Let me know how you're feeling about quarantine and things like that. Hit me up on our social media. We're on Instagram at KDMR Music. A couple of updates before we get into today's guest or today's interview. I have posted some new YouTube videos, which we do every single week at youtube.com/KDMR Music. The most recent episode or the most recent video on our channel is about how to get signed to a record label. But it's not just about how to get signed. It's about what record labels are, what they do, why you may want the attention of a record label, and how to go about getting that. We also talk about what record labels are looking for in a potential artist that they want to sign. So super great information. I know it's been helpful for a few people in the comments. But if you're interested in that, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KDMR Music. But let's get into today's interview. Today I spoke with Tiffany Van Boxtel. Tiffany is the founder of Star Singer, starsinger.co, and the Star Singer podcast. And what she does, she is a vocal coach by trade, but she helps singer-songwriters and indie artists give performances that they're proud of without spending hours on practice or overpriced voice lessons. She's got a great course, and she teaches a very proven method for getting the best out of your voice, helping you sing higher notes without cracking. She's really got it all. So we covered a lot. She gave some basic vocal tips, some advice on how to strengthen your voice. But then she also, you know, of course, with COVID-19 and everything going on, she gave some tips for giving impactful live performances as well over live stream so that your audience stays active and stays so that you stay top of mind for your audience. So again, it was a really great conversation. I'm super excited to share it with you. And without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, Tiffany, to the Music Business Dreams podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. No problem. So for those who don't know much about you or maybe meeting you for the first time here, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started?
Sure. I'm a vocal coach, and I help singer-songwriters and independent artists feel more comfortable and confident with their performances and their voice. And I like to do that without super overpriced voice lessons and without spending hours and hours of time on practice, because I know, Brandon, that most of your people are probably wearing many, many hats in their business.
Right.
And they just might not feel like they have the time or the resources to dedicate to it. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're a singer, if you're singing, if you have vocals on your tracks, you know, that's your music. And if your music isn't strong, then you really don't, you know, your music is why people are going to want to become a fan or want to listen to you. And so if you're not feeling confident in that, it's going to be really difficult to draw people in. So my job is to really help musicians and singers feel confident in their performances so that they have that, and then they can go off and feel confident recording an album or doing a performance or negotiating a contract for a gig or live streaming. And really having that solid foundation is super important.
Absolutely. So how did you get your start in music? Did you start off as a singer, and maybe how early did you get started?
Well, actually, I came home from school. And I went to Catholic school at the time, even though I'm not Catholic, but that's another story. And I was, they asked if we wanted to sing solo for Christmas. And I came home and I told my parents, I said, "Hey, I'm singing O Come Emmanuel for Christmas." And they were like, okay, cool. And then I sang it and they were like, "Well, maybe we should get you some voice lessons. Like, that was pretty good, you know?" So I started taking some voice lessons. I was really, really involved in choir. I loved choir, just the community aspect of it. It's just so cool to create something and have all of these voices around you and be part of something bigger. And I decided I was going to be a high school choir teacher. So I went to college for vocal performance and music education because I don't know if a lot of people know, but a lot of choir teachers are not necessarily vocal people. They might be piano people. They might be, you know, excellent music educators, excellent at, you know, inspiring and reading music and helping people learn their parts. But a large majority are not voice people. So I really wanted to bring that aspect of it to it. And I wanted to be a master of my craft so I could help other people in the best way possible. And then during college, I was teaching karate because karate is my thing. karate and music. So I got a part-time job teaching karate, assisting and then teaching later on while I was in college. And a lot of the parents knew that I went to the local conservatory. So they started asking, "Well, hey, like, can you give my son or daughter voice lessons? You know, we hear you're going to Lawrence and we want our kid to have voice lessons." And I was kind of like, I never really taught private voice lessons before, but I was transparent with that. And I said, "Hey, I've taken a lot of voice lessons. I'm studying to be a teacher. Let's give this a try." And by the time I graduated from college, I was already working with about 40 people, and working less than a teacher, managing my own time, making more money than a teacher, aside from maybe the benefits. But I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Let's see how this goes. I'm kind of liking this. Mm-hmm. And let's go from there. And what happened is suddenly I was working with like 60 singers a week and it was really a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. And I noticed that I was repeating myself a lot. And even though everyone is individual, there is a strong foundation. So I thought it made sense to take all of this knowledge and experience about what worked and what didn't work and create a foundational set of materials for my membership so that singers could learn how to sing and get guidance. I wouldn't have to repeat myself. I wouldn't be burning myself out and they'd be able to learn at a much lower cost. Mm. It just made sense. So that's where I'm at today.
Absolutely. Yeah, that seems to be a theme, right? A lot of teachers, educators, traditional and otherwise, you know, find, okay, I can't multiply my time. I can't take on 60 students a week. You know, I mean, I guess you could, but you'd be really tired, right? And so I think the online courses and membership sites have been a great way, you know, not just to create revenue, but to really be of assistance to more than just a smaller local crowd.
Yeah, for sure. Do a lot of your people, a lot of your listeners teach music lessons in addition to what they're doing?
So a lot of my audience, they're younger. They're kind of just getting started in music. And a lot of them are hip hop artists. So there's not necessarily the formal training that they have in order to really give lessons. What I find that a lot of my audience does is they sell drum kits and other ancillary products, you know, to other musicians. Like one of my clients, he's a rapper, but he makes his own beats. And so him and a few friends, I guess now they're business partners, they create these, I guess you would call them kind of stock or library sounds. They package them up by mood or by themes, and they sell these sound libraries to music producers and allow them to sample them to make new songs with them. So,
That's so cool.
Yeah, so a lot of my audience is really more into like the digital product space as opposed to like digital service offerings.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I know a lot of teachers too who are like, I mean, even if you feel like you don't have any formal training, if you're creating music and you feel like you have something to teach, you know, mm-hmm. I would encourage people to, it's mostly about patience, to be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us more about Star Singer. What is it and why'd you start it?
Well, it's a membership for singers. Most of these are singer-songwriters or independent artists, and I started it so that they could have a clear path and a training plan and guidance without having to stop and take voice lessons or spend hundreds of dollars on voice lessons a month. So what we do is we go through the program and we craft a training plan based on your unique dreams and goals. Because a lot of artists, you know, if they say something like, oh, I want to sing higher, or I want to work on my breathing and phrasing, what happens is they might go on YouTube and search for it and then be like, oh man, well, I should really work on my pitch too, or I should really work on my vocal break as well. And, you know, you start going down a rabbit hole and you don't see any progress and you don't hear any progress or improvement. And that can get really frustrating. So we like to focus on short bursts of super effective exercises that are like really tied to dreams and goals. So, I mean, if you're singing higher, you're practicing these exercises that I've used in the studio that have helped like 99% of my singers sing higher.
Right.
You know, you're only doing that for a couple of weeks so that you can hear that. And then from there, you're moving on. And we do have that guidance and support in the community. So, you know, if you are feeling stuck, we've got like a Facebook group and people just like, hey, Tiffany, can I get some feedback quick? You know, I'm kind of stuck. What can I do? And they'll just post a quick video, you know, and I'm in there. So it's like, I'm in there once a day. So it's kind of like on demand, you know, it's just super helpful. Cause even if you are taking voice lessons, you know, your prac or any kind of music lesson, you know, when you're practicing, you think of that question, then you get to your lesson and you like draw a complete blank.
Right.
So absolutely. Yeah, that's what I do.
Nice. Nice. So I guess we'll kind of focus the conversation for the next few minutes on just practical vocal tips for those who are, you know, singers, singer-songwriters, really improving their voice and that confidence so they can get those quality recordings that they then can market to their fans.
Yeah, totally. A first thing, and I think that your audience, being a lot of hip hop, being a lot of rap, can really appreciate this, because I think there's a large gap in formal, quote unquote, formal singing training when it comes to rhythm and breath.
Mm.
And the rhythm determines so much of the momentum of the song and the confidence. So, I mean, we even do like, if we're breaking down a song, like we even do like exercises, like I call tap and rap, so that we can feel where the space is, so that we can breathe in momentum with the song.
Right.
So that's a really, really, excuse me, that's a really, really good thing to think about, just honing in on the rhythm of your song. Because when you're singing, it can be so easy to focus on the notes. Oh, I'm out of tune. Oh, I don't like how this sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing about rhythm, and I learned this from a great choral conductor, is if you focus on the rhythm, the notes fall into place. And it's the weirdest phenomenon ever. And it happens, you know, if you focus on it internally or if you're reading music. It happens both ways. So that is super helpful, focusing on the rhythm. Another quick technique that I like to do is lip buzzes. And I'm not grabbing my mouth like some people do, because when you grab your mouth, you can change the pressure, but the pressure doesn't come from your hand. It's going to come from like down below. So if you have a really long phrase that you're having trouble breathing with, you can buzz it. I don't even know. Like if you're doing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, it'd be like, mm-hmm. And that kind of takes a lot. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to breathe bigger because I didn't get through my phrase.
Hmm.
Or if you're having trouble with the high note, you might be doing this and you might hear. If the pressure has a huge change while you're buzzing, that's a flag. It means you're changing the pressure. And so that's why when you try to hit, quote unquote, hit that high note, mm-hmm. The pressure might fluctuate because your airflow isn't consistent. So doing things like making sure that you have a solid rhythmic foundation, that your airflow is consistent. Because if you're changing pitch, frequency is based on all kinds of things. It's based on lung volume, air pressure, airflow, shape of the vocal tract, vibration. Like, it's rocket science, you know? And like, right. Especially when it's us, you know, because you're playing an instrument, you know, you're like, oh, my piano's out of tune. But if it's you, it can be very personal. Like, you can start to take that super personally.
Right.
So those are a couple of like really, really good tips that a lot of people aren't really talking about, but make a huge difference. Like, they iron out lip buzzes and focusing on the rhythm irons out about 80% of a lot of vocal issues.
Wow. That's interesting that you mentioned that. I've heard that a lot. Like, just, oh, my instrument is out of tune. And we know that just like as a fact that, okay, the more I play this instrument, the more I'm hitting these strings, you know, the easier it is for it to go out of tune. I'll need to do some sort of maintenance to keep it working properly. But we don't think of our voices the same way. Typically, we speak of in terms of I can sing or I can't. I can hit the high note or I can't. And I've never thought of it that way. So, but you're saying that the focusing on the rhythm and lip buzzes are great ways to kind of maintain your voice. Are there any others like that, maybe easy exercises that people can get into at home to just kind of keep their voice trained?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just, I mean, obviously it's not going to be like a one size fits all. But what I like so much about the rhythm and the lip buzzes is that they, if you can do the exercise, you're doing pretty well, and they highlight issues and flags. Mm-hmm. And if you're cool with that, and if you're cool with putting on your scientist coat and just being like, oh, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? Okay. It's not that, like you said, it's not that I can't do it. It's not that I stink as a musician, like I'll never be able to do it. Right. It's like, oh, I just got to try this again, like approach it a little bit differently. Mm. So for example, an exercise that I like to do, like super simple, guys would probably be down here. Ooh, the humidity is affecting my piano. And like women would be up here. But if you did something just like, even like count singing, so I like to start with count singing. A lot of songs will have a 4-beat, 8-beat pattern, 16-beat, 32, lots of groups and numbers like that. And of course, we have different time signatures and all of that, but there's a large majority of songs are focused on 4, 8, 16, 32, as far as like mathematical groups. That's why I like, whenever you're watching like a movie where they're like dancing or something, you hear that like 5, 6, 7, 8, and they like start tapping.
Right.
So this is an example of an 8-beat pattern and an example of like what I call timing of the breath. Okay. So if you were just count singing, this is 8 beats. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And here, like, the sound quality doesn't matter as much. We can open up later and really sing. This is more about the accuracy of the timing. So it can be light. It can be buoyant. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then in your head, you can think 6, 7, breathe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One, and making sure that you use that momentum between 8 and 1 to really, like, you're using that wave. You're not letting it stop. You're not holding it back, because a big issues in singing come from holding the voice back, because maybe you're afraid of what people think, or you're afraid that it's not going to come out the way you want, or you have a really strong desire to really control it. But when you let it out, that's where you can get that freedom, and that's where you can start to build in that consistency. So that's why that exercise, timing in the breath, is so important. It seems super simple, but if your listeners are willing to try it at home, it actually kind of takes a little bit of getting used to. But the beauty is, once you get it, you don't even have to think about it anymore, and you start to do it automatically. And then you can make choices about how you want to phrase your songs to communicate your emotion or your words.
Got you. So this conversation is about to get really nerdy, and I apologize. but so, because I think I'm understanding what you're saying, and I'm not a singer, right? But for example, in funk music, right? Especially if you're listening to James Brown, there's a lot of emphasis on the one, right? The first beat of a measure, like, and he'll say, okay, I don't particularly care what goes on after, right? Let's just make sure we're hitting on that one, right? So for a lot of people who are singing and who are trained in that way, a lot of it is, okay, let me get ready for the next start, right? And so, but what you're saying, I hear in, I guess, in the converse of that is, let's make sure we're not wasting any of the beats. Let's make sure that we're training our body, right? Lungs, voice, whatever, to make complete use of all eight counts. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but I love your analogy of focusing on the one too, because that really is true. You know, if you're using your body to focus on the eight counts and you time the eight with the one, once you release the voice, you know, same thing. It's the same thing. Once you let go of the voice, you're cool. All you have to do is sing it in your ear, because the first note is going to determine the whole rest of the phrase. It's going to set you up for success or set you up in the other way.
Got you. Okay, cool. So I've got
that
my voice lesson for the day. So I know another thing that's come up, I guess, just in recent times, right? And so for those who are listening to this after the fact, we are seemingly on the tail end of this whole COVID-19 or coronavirus situation, right? And an unfortunate byproduct of that was that live shows, a lot of things were shut down. A lot of revenue streams for musicians have been shut down just because large gatherings are shut down. Most indie musicians that I know of, you know, the majority of their income is coming from live shows. And so when we can't do that, then it's like, okay, well, how can we make money? And another alternative that a lot of people are using for that is live streaming, right? And not even just to make money, but also to keep their fans engaged. Because it's like, okay, we're a content driven industry, right? Where on Netflix, there's going to be 15 new shows that come out next month. And we've got that to kind of hold us over. With musicians, it's a lot more, you know, cyclical, right? You may release something once a year. So a lot of artists are using these live streams to have something or some kind of reason for their fans and their followers to stay engaged with them. And so I wanted to talk about live streaming because I know that you've had students that have used it to a lot of success. And so I want to talk about, from your experience, what maybe some of the pros and cons are and maybe some of the best practices.
Yeah, sure. Awesome. I think live streaming is a great way to, I guess, continue to hone your performance chops, so to speak. Because you, you know, if you've been out, depending on where you live, you know, now if you are going places a little bit more often, or if you are in the grocery store, you know, there's still that kind of like getting used to people kind of thing, you know. I'm trying to maintain my social distancing, so you know, we're kind of out of practice when it comes to socializing because we've been social distancing. In a similar way, we may be out of practice when it comes to live performance because we've been, you know, working on our own, doing whatever. For some reason, when you when you go live, when you hit that record button and you're ready or go live button, something happens in your body and it really engages this fight or flight response that gives you the energy that you require to give a good performance. And it's about being able to utilize that to the fullest. And if we're out of practice doing that, it's going to make it insanely hard to return to the stage later or get in that recording booth, you know, and hope to lay down something consistent because we're out of practice of dealing with that excess energy and excitement that a live performance gives us.
Mm. Got you. So I hadn't even thought of it in that way, right? Where a lot of people are using the live stream as just, okay, let me keep people engaged. You're saying a live stream, doing live streaming is good just to keep yourself in practice. That's kind of like we're talking about keeping that instrument tuned. So do you recommend any sort of frequency for these live streams?
I don't think the frequency is as important as being consistent or setting a date or, you know, when you tell your fans that you're going to do it, which I think you should anyway, because it holds you accountable, right? So then you're like, oh, I told them I would do it. Mm-hmm. So now I have to have something ready. You know, it's about integrity. You know, you want to show up when you say you're going to show up or be consistent. And people are looking for that, you know. And I mean, you know, there's so many things to scroll. There's so many things to look at. It's hard to hold our attention for a long period of time. But if we set it up as an event and we make it exciting for our fans, you know, it's a lot more likely that they're going to attend and engage with us.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So it's not necessarily important to say, hey, I go live every week, as much as it is to say, hey, I'm going live and this is what you can expect. This is when you can expect it to happen. And then following through. And yeah. Just, you know, doing whether it's going to be once a month, twice a month, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And even following through, if you aren't well in voice, you know, because we all get sick or what have you, even just showing up and just being like, hey, I'm kind of under the weather today, but I really want to show up for you guys. Maybe just if it's super bad, like in a frog or something, like maybe taking some questions or just saying hi or giving a virtual high five or that kind of thing, and then signing off and rescheduling. But just the power of showing up when you say you're going to is going to just build trust and authority.
Perfect. Now, is there any particular setup that you recommend for live streaming? I know it can get really complicated, or it can be as simple as using your phone.
I am not I'm not a super tech person. I like to hopefully have my craft speak for itself, but I do understand that we do have to have some sort of amplification. We actually did an episode on my podcast with a guest. Her name is Megan Kuhar, and she went through all of the setup, and she even had I can maybe give it to you too. She even had a little opt-in thing with like a setup, like, hey, use this type, you know, if you're in this budget, use this type of microphone and connect it to this type of thing,
right?
And that kind of thing. But I'm a big fan of just going with my phone and, but it would just be me and my piano, or, you know, if that's you and your guitar, that setup might work. If you have a more electronic setup, you probably are pretty good at hooking things up, hooking cords up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can probably figure that out. But I know that different platforms have different settings, and Zoom does have some audio settings that you can really use in order to get that more high quality sound.
Absolutely. So I guess for anyone listening who's looking into what kind of technology you can use for live streaming, if you don't want to just use your phone. I know I use OBS, Open Broadcast Software. And basically what it allows me to do is to use my computer for live streaming. So whatever inputs I have on my computer, you know, and I've got a record player or a turntable, I've got this whole audio mixer that this microphone and some others are connected to. And then you can even use your desktop audio. So if you do have a MIDI controller, you're using Ableton or something like that, you can set that as an audio source as well. So, you know, you can get, you know, pretty high quality audio, you know, and the OBS software itself is free. So if you've already invested in a home studio, then that is a great option for you to put some of those things to work. And OBS can get really complicated. But a lot of us who are DIY musicians, we're not just DIY musicians, right? A lot of us are DIY graphic designers and broadcasters. So it's like you said, we've got this figure it out itness there already. So we can certainly, there are tutorials out there. I know that one of our past guests, his name is Finian St. Omer, but he's a DJ. And he's been live streaming the last couple of weeks, and he's got this whole setup where he's able to live stream from his computer to Instagram. Now, there are a lot of steps it takes to get from the computer to Instagram, but it is possible, and he's able to do that. He's DJing, but he's speaking to you over a microphone, and everything is super clear, so it's great.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that you were able to speak to that, because tech person, I am not.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, just, you know, with being in the hip hop community, people don't realize how technical it is at times. But I've learned so much about audio, and I guess what is technically audio engineering, just trying to add little things to a setup here and there. So I think a lot of people don't know how much they know until you realize, okay, or you speak to someone else who's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, oh, my bad.
I'm going to go over here in this like Ableton group where I can like talk about stuff, so you all know what I'm talking to.
Right. So, yeah. So I think my advice is similar to yours in that you don't want the technology to deter you from reaching your fans. Right. And so if you're comfortable using all these different moving parts, then, hey, by all means, do it. Right. But like you said, you can live stream with your phone and just your guitar, whatever you've got. And I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with these the versus battles that have been going on. And it's like, people will try these super complex setups, and all of a sudden when you're on Instagram live trying to listen, it's just a bunch of static, right? And there was all of this, there were all these memes when there was the Teddy Riley versus Babyface battle, because Teddy Riley, who is a great producer, he's done work with Michael Jackson, just about everyone you can name, he's worked with them. Even people that I didn't know he worked with anyway. So he's got this whole setup. He's got a TV in the background, like playing this image of a record spinning. He's got dancers in the back. He's got all this happening, and you cannot hear a word of his music. And it's just like, what's going on, guy? But so it's like, even with something like that, what they have found is that the best way to go about it is just go ahead and go live from your phone. Don't plug anything into it, and maybe have like a Bluetooth speaker off to the side playing your music. Because think about it, your phone, the microphone on your phone is this. It's this big, right? So if you're blasting, I've got these 8-inch speakers sitting in front of me, you're blasting that into this tiny thing, it's overpowering, right? It's too much. It's overstimulated. And so then... So you don't want to overpower your fans to the point where, and your fans are not, I promise you, they're not listening on these super pristine setups. And if they are, it's only a very small percentage of them. Most people are just using their phone and watching it. They may have a pair of headphones in, you know? And so it's just like, we overthink these things. And be like, oh no, I've got to sound like NPR before I can do anything. And it's like, nobody cares. They care about you. They care that you cared enough to show up for them. And that's really it. right? And so don't overthink it and don't be afraid to get started, even with a small or no setup. If you've got a phone and an internet connection, you've got enough.
Yeah, totally. Your fans aren't going to disown you because of the type of microphone that you're using.
Absolutely. So, have you had any experience with monetizing your live streams?
Me, no, because mostly I'm working with singers, helping them to perfect their craft. So that's a little out of my element, but I know that they do it. They use things like Venmo and like, some of them are doing like a small pay to listen Zoom room where it's like a private link or that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But beyond that, not so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that Rick Barker talks about a lot the virtual tip jar, right? Where you go live and in your pinned comment, you may have a link to your Cash App or PayPal or whatever it is, and just say, hey, I'm taking tips today. But, you know, it's not the focus of your live stream. You're doing what you're already doing. And so it's like busking. It's virtual busking. And that's I cannot remember the name of the artist that he cites to save my life right now. But she had done it to the tune of 6 figures a year. And we may not even need 6 figures a year, but every little penny does help. So I would encourage you guys, if you are live streaming to perform for your fans, go ahead and put that link there. It won't hurt anything.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I mean, I wonder if there's some people listening that don't feel like they want to ask or don't feel like worthy or that their music is good enough or that they're at like a professional enough level to like ask for a tip. Like, it can't hurt. Like, I'm just going to put it here.
Right. I think a great book that speaks to that is The Art of Asking by Amanda Palmer. And, she's probably most famous for raising a bunch of money on Kickstarter to fund albums. And then she moved on to Patreon and raised a bunch of money there too. Right. But she talks a lot about, and she's got a TED talk on this. It's called The Art of Asking. But she talks about how her basically kind of building up the nerve to put a tip jar there where she's singing. And she, in the kind of the psychological flip that she had where she understood, it's like, it's not me asking them for something, it's me giving them the opportunity to give me something. And it's like,
yeah,
it's a powerful thought reversal. And so if anyone is having trouble with that, like feeling, okay, I'm not good enough, I'm not Drake or Adele, right? Why do I deserve to be paid for my music? That's a great read, and I would encourage you to take a look at it.
That's so cool. I wonder if there's even a tech way to make it like super fun. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a coffee shop and it has like the tip jars, but there's like a choice, like Star Wars or Star Trek, you know, and like you put your opinion in there. I wonder if there's a way to like virtual tip that, have people, because people love to give their opinions, you know, like, right. Hey, which song of mine did you like better? Tip here, tip here, you know.
That'd be cool. That's interesting. I guess you could be like, okay, PayPal me if you like this, or Cash App me if you like that. I don't
know. Yeah, that's cool. And then you could see like which songs resonate better as well. So it's kind of like market research, but you're getting paid for it.
Absolutely.
And they get to leave their opinion. That's cool.
Gotcha. So I guess going back to keeping people tuned, keeping their confidence up. Yeah. What do you feel like the biggest barriers are for singers and success?
Oh man. I think the thing that pops into my mind right away is feedback from other people, and specifically feedback from people who aren't really experts in the field. But I don't know if anyone's ever been to a performance and they're like, hey man, I really like that, but you know, I would have done this differently, or you could have done this differently, you know? Right. And what I've realized is like, that comes from a place of connection. Like, people want to show you, hey, I'm good too. I know music. I want to make a connection with you. I want you to think that I'm worthy, but like the only thing that they can do is kind of pull out a piece of advice that they think is helpful.
Right.
But then you're like, oh, you thought I was a little flat here. Oh, okay. Thanks. And then you're like, later on, you're like, boy, I better watch it in this part. The guy said I get a little flat, you know, and I don't know. He's Joe down the street. If I see Joe down the street messing around with his car, I'm not going to like walk over there and be like, looks like an alternator. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Why would I offer that opinion?
Right.
So other people's opinions, I would say like just that confidence is so important. Like if you do have the opportunity to work with an expert, or if you do have that person that you trust, that's going to give you that honest, kind of like a mentor, or a producer, or the someone that you trust to give you that honest feedback about what's really coming out, someone who really knows the industry or someone who really knows their craft, listen to them and try to block other voices out. I know we want to listen to our fans, but at the same time, everyone has an opinion. And as a singer, taking in too many of those opinions can make us feel bad. And it really hurts the confidence and affects our music. So
absolutely
block them out.
So all right, so tip number one, we're gonna block out the haters, right? We're gonna block out opinions, and you don't want to say opinions that don't matter, right? But it's really just about you being centered and knowing who you are, right?
Yes.
And you know, trusting in your ability, trusting in your training, and then investing in yourself in that way. And so we've talked about vocal exercises that people can do. What other ways do you feel like people can invest in themselves and in their voices, you know, to kind of keep things going?
So if you do have the opportunity to get some guidance, get some vocal coaching, I totally would advise that. If it's weekly lessons, cool. Maybe you have the luxury of working with someone who will let you pop in once every month and you just say, hey, how am I doing? Am I on track? Like in my membership, we have ways to connect and get feedback like that. So there's many, many ways to do it. But I would encourage you to get some expert coaching or some outside ears on you, because you're doing all the things, but you shouldn't have to be your own voice teacher, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, before we wrap up, I want to talk about, because you've got some trainings out there to help people, you know, capture better performances. Can you talk a little bit more about the resources that you have available for singers?
Yeah, sure. So I have a free training that's going to go through the 4-step dream performance process. So it's called Captivate Your Audience, 4 Steps to Your Dream Singing Performance. And it's going to go through helping you figure out what your dreams and goals are, because a major problem that I see with a lot of singers or people who want to sing is they'll say, hey, I want to match pitch better. Hey, I want to breathe better. Hey, I want to sing higher. But the issue, the reason why people aren't getting better is because there's no connection to that like bigger why. What do you want to do as an artist? You know, are you recording albums? Are you touring? Because that's going to, you know, if you're touring, you're going to need to make sure that your vocal chops are good to sing every night if that's what you're doing, versus, you know, so you're going to have to learn in maybe a different way or focus on a different thing. So we go through, you know, what you can focus on so that you can only spend 10 to 15 minutes a day. We talk about the 3 biggest mistakes singers make and how you can avoid them. And then the 4-step dream performance process. So okay. You can do that at, it's at starsinger.co/captivate.
Okay.
Or it's captivate now, because it's a watch now option. It's on demand.
Okay, perfect. So I'll make sure I link to that in the show notes. And I know you've also started a podcast to go along with the Star Singer. Can you talk about that and, you know, what the show focuses on?
Yeah. So thank you. The Star Singer podcast. We talk about everything from music business to vocal psychology to vocal science to promoting your music. So it's really, if you are a singer and you are wanting to make a little bit of money from your music or wanting to take it seriously enough that you're ready to like invest, it's free of course, but like you're ready to invest the time in to like learn more. It covers a very broad spectrum of things, but it's all tied back to singing directly.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. So I will leave the link to your podcast in the show notes as well. I guess before we go, was there anything else you wanted to cover? Anything, any other final tips you may have for people out there?
Yeah. Allow yourself to let go. Like, I think that's a really good thing for everything. It's hard to restrict oneself, you know, and sometimes we do it in forms of like being polite or like, you know, the things that your brain says that you shouldn't say out loud. Mm-hmm. But you really want to be you and you really want to be able to release that. And I think you're going to be amazed at how much your music changes and how much your perception of yourself changes. Mm-hmm. When you allow yourself to release your voice.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights with our audience. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I learned so much and I loved your take on things and how we could collaborate that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a wrap on today's interview. Again, I want to thank Tiffany for sharing her time, her experience, her expertise. Super pumped about all the value that you guys are able to get out of that. Again, don't forget to follow Tiffany on her social media and visit her website. I'll leave all those links in the show notes in the description. Until next time, keep dreaming, work hard, and make those music business dreams reality. Subscribe to the show. Make sure you leave us a review. Let us know how you're feeling. What you'd like to improve about the show. And I'll see you in the next episode a week from now. Peace.